Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey. So hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Mill Spouse Matters podcast. This is Jen, and I'm super glad that you decided to click play and join me today. Before we get into today's episode, I did want to make a real quick announcement. This is being recorded and will be released the week before Thanksgiving 2020, and I will be taking a few weeks off for some family time and a little bit of travel, and then I'll come back and we will have two episodes in December and then take a holiday break. But just so you know what's going on, there's nothing wrong. It's just I had to shift my schedule around a little bit so that you know what's coming up. So as always, I would love it if you subscribed and left a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening. And if you've read and enjoyed my book for military spouses, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, I'd be so grateful if you left a 5-star rating on Amazon. Thank you so much to those of you that have already done that. And if you leave a review, I will give you a shout out. Speaking of, here was a really sweet note on Apple Podcasts. It says, Grateful Milspo of 4 by Sully Gang Leader. I cannot begin to express how incredibly grateful I am for the work you're doing with this podcast. My husband has been in the U.S. CG Reserves for 12 years, and this year has transferred active duty U.S. Army. He's currently in OCS, while I'm at what has always been our home with 4 kids, 1 newborn, and a dog. I feel as though I've got 1 foot in the civilian world and 1 foot in the other. I just want to express my gratitude for being a bridge builder for me. With love, Ashley Sullivan. Thank you so much, Ashley, for taking your time to let me know, and I'm really grateful it's been helpful to you. And we wish you all the best during this transition, especially right now. I know it's a little odd with COVID and everything else that's going on, so it's definitely not normal. But here's hoping that you guys have a really smooth transition and good luck with your future assignment and military life. And welcome to active duty military life. It's quite an adventure. I did want to mention this season's sponsors. There's been quite a few. I know that some people have issues with ads. I saw a really good thing yesterday from another podcaster who has a really huge following, and I guess some people were giving pushback on ads, and she said that's really the only way podcasts can make money is through sponsorships. And so a lot of times it's a labor of love and comes out of our own pocket, and as far as hosting and our time, and I've been doing that for a long time and finally opened up to sponsors this year, and I really am picky about who I select as a sponsor, and I hope that they're helpful to you in some way. But, you know, it's just one of those things, like nobody works for free, right? And even though I absolutely love this, it is nice to at least be able to cover the cost of hosting and putting the podcast out there to the world. Here are the season sponsors. I just wanted to mention Family Magazine at the Commissary. You'll hear more from them later in the show. The Peewee app, First Command Financial, Grace Rebecca Photography, and the Magical Order of Brave Knights. It helps a lot if you support those who supported this show. And I will be making a page on my site soon where you can just more quickly find them. You can also find them in episode show notes. But these are people that are oriented to military families and offer something tangible. I hope that you will support them. So as we're coming into the holiday season, I know some of you are without your spouse, either through deployment or training. Maybe you need a little pick-me-up. If you had listened to a recent episode with Yellow Ribbon Box, Casey Jones is supplying care packages for spouses who are separated from the military member. So you could either request a box for somebody you know or donate, and that's one way to give back. Another way to give back this holiday season is supporting Soldiers Angels, which was in my last episode, episode 55. All you need to do is just go to their website, soldiersangels.org, and you can find ways to help support veterans and deployed service members and families. They have a ton of ways to do that. And if that's not your cup of tea, I hope that wherever you're living, I know this is, like I said, this year is such a different year. Maybe there's some way that you can support people around you, or if you're in the place of needing support, be sure to connect with one of those helping agencies. So today's topic has been suggested to me by several listeners, and I was trying to find just the right person to speak to it, and it is about childless military couples, couples without kids, and feeling like there's not really a place for them in military life, because let's be honest, so many events are oriented towards military families. So I really appreciate the suggestion, and I'm joined by Jennifer Brantley, who you may remember from episode 44. Her husband is a chaplain and they're stationed in England, and she's sharing some of her experience and what they've been through. I really think whether or not you're in the same boat, any of us that have been in military life and are relating to other military families, this is a good listen because it can help you avoid some pitfalls. And maybe if you are in a position of creating events or doing any kind of outreach to military families, to not forget the families that don't have kids, your single soldiers, airmen, sailors, whatever service branch you're in, that, you know, we're all one big family and we don't ever want to make anybody feel left out. So she's just a smart lady and has lots of good stuff to share. So if you have a suggestion of a topic you'd like to see, let me know. You can send me a message on Instagram. You can find it at the MilSpouse Matters website, MilSpouseMatters.com, and give me a suggestion. Honestly, as far as guests go, I am pretty full for the foreseeable future. I'm getting a lot of requests for people wanting to come on the show. Sometimes they're obviously from people who've never listened to it. And I really do try to be particular about who I bring in front of you because I absolutely love my audience. I love you guys so much. And I just want to support you. It's not about me. It's about you. So if you know somebody that would just, you think, oh man, she's got to have them on there, let me know. One little note, this interview was recorded on Skype, so it doesn't have quite the same quality as my other audio just because it downloads as a combined track. So there are a couple of little skips and a cough or two that we couldn't get out. But I think Jennifer's a pro, and that's what we just ended up having to use just because of some technical issues. Of course, two podcasters, right? And I think the conversation is still really helpful, and I don't even know that you'll notice, but I did want to mention that I am aware there's a little skip right at the beginning. And yeah, so we recorded this last month in October 2020 before more shutdowns. And so you may hear some things like that referred to. And I think that's it. So I really hope that you're doing okay. If you want to reach out to me and, you know, have any questions or comments, please do. I always love hearing from you guys. So let's get into the rest of the show. Have a happy Thanksgiving. So hey, everybody, and welcome. Today, I am being joined by Jennifer Brantley, and you may remember her from episode 44 this past summer, and the great discussion we had, Where Do We Go From Here? A Military Spouse Discussion on Racism and Resources. She shared so much wisdom and her experiences, and I so appreciated her coming on to share that with all of you listeners. So this season, I am excited to be talking to spouses who run the gamut of experiences from newer to more seasoned. And one issue that's often brought to my attention is from military couples without kids who wonder if there's a place for them and who often feel left out of unit or base activities. So we're going to talk about that. But first, let me just give you a brief reminder and a little bit of information about Jennifer Brantley. She is a mil spouse of many hats. She's the wife to an Air Force chaplain, but has definitely carved out her own lane. She's an attorney by trade, as well as the founder of More Than a Mrs., a lifestyle blog for military spouses, creator of the Find Me mobile app, and host of the Discard It podcast, where her motto is, you may be scarred, you may have been bruised, but your story isn't over yet. And you can find out more from Jennifer at morethanamissus.com and on social media with different handles at fire_esquire, at more_thanamissus, at the Discard It podcast, and at Find Me mobile. And I will link to all those great places in the show notes. So welcome, Jennifer, after that amazing bio. Welcome back to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. When you said all of those social media handles, I'm like, oh, I have so many different ones.
I think it's
really, I am happy.
And I've shared your, if you guys want to learn more about the Find Me mobile app, I've shared that with many spouses since you came on, because I think it's just really, really cool. Actually, maybe just take a minute and remind listeners what that is.
Yeah, for sure. So Find Me Mobile is a mobile app that's available right now for both Apple and Android devices. And what it does is it basically connects military spouses, minority vets, minority families, diverse families to businesses with every PCS move. So you know how it is. You never feel like you're truly at home until you find certain things, you know, a hairstylist, whether it be a restaurant, a medical facility off base. This app kind of aims to bridge that gap, and it is geared specifically towards the minority community, but everyone is welcome to use it. And that's just because, you know, we're often underserved, just to be quite frank, and it's difficult for us to find certain things, more than just hairstylists. But I won't get into all of that, but everyone is welcome. Everyone's welcome to use the app. Find Me Mobile. You can search for it in the app store, wherever, you know, you download your mobile apps from. Find Me Mobile.
And I loved your idea for allies to use it to find restaurants or, you know, places, venues or entertainment to maybe check it out so that everybody in your group is
comfortable.
Yeah. I love that so much. So I'm showing it to one spouse and she said, this is brilliant. I've needed this. I wish we had this, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago when our spouse first came in. So I wanted to make sure, I should have told you that before, but yeah, a lot of people think it's an amazing idea. So go check it out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit of what's been happening with you since we last spoke. I think you were on complete lockdown because you all are stationed in England.
Yes. So we're stationed in England. We are no longer in lockdown, but I will say that it looks like another one is on the horizon. Unfortunately, much like, you know, most of the world, but we have seen an increase in cases. So I've just been keeping busy with work, with my own podcast, with the mobile app. I feel like I have so many different passion projects, but that's just because I'm, you know, passionate about helping people. So that's been my summer, is just kind of focusing in on those projects and then, you know, focusing in on work.
Yeah. You're like me, you work and then you also do this on the side. Yes. And I was kind of griping about it, not griping, but just like, I was so busy one day last week and I said, I just can't get to it all. And my daughter that's 22, she goes, well, at least it's your passion. Like it's something you're loving doing.
Yes.
Good.
That's
good
so
point.
Important. She's wise.
Throwing my own words back in my face is what she's doing. They tend to do that. So, well, let's just get right into our topic. And you were so kind to agree to talk about this. Basically, the topic of being a military couple without children and the difficulties in finding support. So I would love to hear your experience and maybe the ways that you have found it difficult and how you've overcome those challenges. But first, let's just talk about maybe what's been your greatest challenge with being a military family who doesn't have children.
Yeah, so I think the greatest challenge has been being acknowledged by other people as a family unit. And you kind of alluded to that when we spoke a few minutes ago, but that's really a thing, because it's almost as though we're not seen as families because we don't have children. And so my husband, as you mentioned, is a chaplain. Even with him, you know, he's so often assigned to be the duty chaplain on holidays and on weekends.
Because it's like he doesn't have anything else to do.
Right. Yep. That's exactly it. It's like he doesn't have anything else to do. Sometimes, you know, I try not to feel this way, but it's almost as though I don't matter because I'm just, you know, just the wife at home and there are no children to take care of. So it seems almost as though we're overlooked. And I think that's been the greatest challenge because, you know, even though he's in the military, we are still a married couple. Mm-hmm. And you want to have that balance with work and with home and continue to build upon your relationship. But that's difficult to do when you're not able to set aside time for each other because everyone else wants to go and do things with their, you know, families. and you're kind of left on the outside. So I think that's been one of the greatest challenges. And then the other would just be, you know, interactions with other families. So a lot of families, it's difficult to hang out with them because they have different priorities, which is totally understandable. I have no issue with that. But in some instances, there's also this sense that you're almost shunned because you don't have children. And it's just, you know, just certain people, just different pockets of instances where this occurs. One of the other challenges is just kind of finding your place. You know, where do I belong? How do I make friends?
Yeah.
When we have, you know, different things going on.
Well, and I don't know how long you've been married. We were married for 3 years and we did have our first baby. But in those 3 years, I mean, we didn't care if people had kids, and I'm sure you don't either. Like, you know, we were willing to come over to their house so they could put their kids down and we could do whatever we were going to do, like play cards or whatever. And so, you know, there's a way around it. If people just, I think maybe it's more that people don't think about it. Like they don't think that you would maybe be up for that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know that I found that. It's a long time ago. I had to think back pretty far, but I, you know, I just suddenly had this memory. We were the ones that we were like, we'll come over there, you know?
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely, absolutely right. I think that, you know, you kind of gravitate towards people who are like you. That's normal. So people who have children, but yeah, we have absolutely no problem. You know, and some of our greatest friends at the previous duty station, they have, I was going to say tons, but they have many children. They have children. And we've still managed to build this great relationship because they have, you know, overlooked that. Or the kids just come along because, you know, we love children. Just because we don't have them doesn't mean we don't love them. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think you're putting words in my mouth at all. I think I agree with what you said.
Well, and so many military outings or, you know, military family dates are geared around kids. Mm-hmm. And that can just be kind of that reminder of, like you said, maybe you don't count as much. And I would hope that leadership, I don't, you know, having been in that position myself of helping set up some of those things, tried to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, you try to make it so that it's welcoming to everybody, but probably there is still that little bit of a message of, is this really for us?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think a lot of the events, even here in England, have been geared primarily towards families with children or single airmen. And there isn't really an in-between. I will say I have seen some efforts, though, to include families that don't have children. And I think that's a big reason that that's occurred is because spouses are speaking up when they can in town halls and things of that nature. So I think speaking up does make a difference. But there is kind of still that polarizing focus when it comes to events. And it may, you know, I don't think it's purposeful. I think it's just kind of, you know, if you have children, you're not really thinking about those who don't. It kind of takes what's the word I'm looking for? It takes intent. Like
right.
You have to be purposeful in thinking about it to cater to those families.
Yeah. And I know that on spouses boards that I was on and, you know, they would say things like, well, why doesn't this subgroup come or this subgroup come? And I would just say, well, like you're saying, you have to be intentional. Are you making it so it's only for moms or only for women? You know, that other issue.
Oh, yeah, that's a big issue.
You know, is it welcoming to older spouses? Is it welcoming to male spouses? And you do have to really sit and think of the ways that it can come across. So that's a whole tangent I won't go down. Yeah. I have thoughts about it, obviously. But as far as military, maybe events or even just casual relationships, can you talk about what has worked and what hasn't?
Yeah, in terms of forming casual relationships, I think a big thing has been a willingness to put yourself out there. Mm. So, you know, I mentioned that couple back at our previous duty station that we've made friends with. But we didn't do a good job, I don't think, at that duty station of branching out. And again, using the word intentional, being intentional about forming those relationships. Here, on the other hand, even with the pandemic, because we've only been here a year, the pandemic began in, I think, around March. Mm-hmm. Even
like
with that going
20 years ago,
it seems like so long ago. Yeah, yeah. It seems like this has been life forever.
I know. Sorry.
But
yeah, March.
Yeah, just March. And I remember that vividly because we were in the States and I was supposed to see my family and we had to fly back. Like we got orders to fly back. I didn't get to see them and I was bawling.
Oh,
but
I bet.
But anyway, even with that in place, we've done such a better job here of making friends. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because we've been intentional about putting ourselves out there, going to events. There are, you know, different Facebook groups now that are popping up that are for spouses and families that do not include children or don't have children. Mm-hmm. And you know, they really stick to that so that you can kind of find people who are like-minded. And even being so brave as to post in these various Facebook groups, I've done that a few times, and just saying, you know, hey, is anyone interested in doing X, Y, and Z? Mm-hmm. You know, just to kind of find your tribe and be really be intentional about doing that and putting yourself out there and being, you know, not afraid to be rejected or not have anyone, you know, respond or you know, want to do anything, and just knowing, yeah, okay, maybe I didn't get a response. Try again. And so that way we've really built these things. And I even started hosting my own events. So as soon as we got here, like 2 months after we arrived, I started hosting. I did like a speed friendship, friendship event. And it was so much fun. And so many of the spouses loved it just because it was something specifically for spouses. And we had a great mix of those who had children, those who did not. But we were all looking for the same thing, which was friendship. And that gave it to us in a fun, very casual environment. So look for things like that wherever you're stationed.
I love that. And that's so creative. And I think we're all so much better off when we have friends from all different ages and stages versus people that look just like us. Like, of course, like you said, you gravitate towards people that are kind of in the same stage of life or married life as you. But I mean, what richness you lose if you're not making friends with younger spouses as an older spouse or vice versa, or, you know, with kids, without kids, because you can look and learn so much from each other. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And be reminded, too, of where you've come from, Like, oh, I remember when I, you know, was a newlywed, and it kind of reminds you and takes you back to that place. I would think, you know, it would take you back to that place. And
when I was afraid to go to the commissary by myself.
Oh, yes. Oh, I remember that. I was terrified.
So intimidating. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this episode will come out before yours, but I just did an interview with the folks at Military Wild, and they are like an outdoors kind of adventure group. Excellent. But it's for anybody, any level of athleticism or fitness. And it just looks super fun. They're all over the world now. It's a nonprofit. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I will put the link to them because they seem like so much fun and kind of the same vision, just bringing people together. It started in Guam with a bunch of spouses who just was their first duty station and they didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And you just see like the thing you did that can grow into something like you're throwing every quarter. Well, see, I just volunteered you. Or somebody can just take it and use the idea. See, that'll be your next app, Jennifer.
I like it.
Friendship, military spouse, friendship or something connected. There's got to be something, right?
There has to be.
Well, if not, I nominate you to create it.
I accept your nomination. I will step up to the plate, maybe.
I think you're up for the task. Today's sponsor is Family, the magazine for military families. You can find it at your commissary and get coupons, articles, recipes, and more. And guess what? This month, you'll find an article from yours truly. Do you love coupons? Then don't miss Family Magazine. Grab a copy at your commissary or read the digital edition at familymedia.com. And then keep up with Operation In Touch, your source for commissary and exchange savings, recipes, and beauty tips. Find savings on Unilever products, on-base events, and more. And take a look at this. Holiday gift sets are now available in your local commissary and exchange. These are perfect for anyone in your life, and these gift sets give the gift of grooming and pampering without breaking the bank. Get ahead of the holiday rush for all those last-minute gifts, or maybe even a little something for yourself, and save with style today. Find Family Magazine on Instagram as @family_at_the_commissary and Operation In Touch @OperationInTouch. Well, do you have any other suggestions for how military spouses can connect with other couples that are in the same stage of life? I mean, I love what you said about you've got to put yourself out there. I think that's first and foremost. If you're not willing to go to things to be mm-hmm. vulnerable, then yeah, you're never going to find anybody. But what do you suggest?
You know, I think also that we have to remember that even though we're affiliated with the military, there are couples outside of the base.
Oh, sure.
So even using just, I mean, you know, it's great, again, to be friends with someone who's kind of experiencing the same thing, military life, as you are. But also, you know, things like Meetup, which are, you know, is still a great website. I think they have an app now. But to find other couples to do things with. Just remember that the military is not, it is kind of an island. I was going to say it isn't an island, but it is a little bit. But, you know, just to be able to branch out as well, to realize, you know, you're not really stuck to this place. I think it's good to, like I said, make friends in the military. And it's disheartening because I see some spouses who have had, you know, bad experiences with different mm-hmm. spouse groups. And I completely understand that being a turnoff. But again, I think we have to be willing to just be a little vulnerable and know that things won't always go the way that we envision or the way that we want them to. That's just the way of life. But for every 10 times or every 9 times that it doesn't go right, the one time that it will, the one time that you meet that couple that you just gel with and mesh with will outweigh those 9 other times that things didn't work out. But if you don't keep going, if you don't keep trying, you'll never get to that one that really makes a difference in your life.
Right. And I, like you said, look off base. We've done that throughout all the years of being a military family, and those end up being some of your best friends. You may go back and visit. Yeah. So whether it's through church, if you're going off base, or like you said, the Meetup groups, I think that's a great idea. I always forget about Meetup. I've had somebody else tell me that she uses that a lot. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And church is definitely a huge one. So even mm-hmm. though we are chapel affiliated, he's a chaplain, we go to church off base, even here. Right. And it's about an hour and a half away. But we still, you know, occasionally make that drive to meet up with other people. And we've made friends that way.
Well, you have to get fed, too.
You have to get fed. That's exactly right. And that's something that Matthew, my husband, says often. You know, you can't. You know, you're always the one that's feeding other people, but you also have to feed into yourself. You also have to strengthen yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's good to get that from an external source. You know, God, yes, of course, but it's another teacher besides yourself. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good.
You got to have somebody pouring into you. And mm-hmm. I love it that his name is Matthew. That's my oldest son's name.
Oh,
that has nothing to do with anything, but I heard Matthew. I'm like, I love that name. Maybe they'll cross paths. He is actually in the Air Force as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, but they're stationed in Washington State right now, but you never know.
Okay. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, because they go to the base chapel there. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. Well, what do you wish that unit or base leadership understood better who don't have children?
I think I would just wish that they would understand that we are still, like I said earlier, a family unit. So we may not be as large as some other families, but we still merit consideration. I think if we could have some events that maybe are specifically geared towards couples that don't have children, that would be helpful. You know, hate to exclude anyone. And I think there's a way that it can be done that it doesn't exclude anyone. But perhaps if just we incorporated some things into events that are more adult geared, I think that would probably be very helpful.
Yeah.
And I think also, so we talk a lot about in the military about not wanting our airmen or, you know, the soldiers or whatever to be overwhelmed mm-hmm. or to have any mental issues. We talk a lot about the suicide rates. And then I think we kind of fall short. And when I say we, I'm referring to leadership. I think we kind of fall short in some ways in really taking care of our military members because we say these things, we hold moments of silence for them and then don't acknowledge that they need this work-life balance that includes mm-hmm. having time to spend with their families. So I think that that's also important for leadership to kind of think about that and do more than just kowtow to the idea, no, we don't want anyone to commit suicide or be depressed, but take actual steps. Like, okay, we understand. Yes, there's the mission, but you need to be fit mentally in order to accomplish this. And we understand that that means spending time with your families or having a little more leeway if something happens at home to go home and not saying, oh, you don't have children. It's just a wife. She can handle it. And I've kind of had that happen. She can handle that.
No, that's really good. That's a really good point. Well, and I have several married children, and one of them, they've tried to have babies and it hasn't happened so far. And they've been married for a few years and people, it drives her crazy. They're always saying, dropping hints or not even hints. And she said, I just don't get why people feel they don't know what our wishes are, you know, and I don't know why they feel okay saying something to me that's about something so private. So sorry if I just took your answer, but maybe, you know, talk about some things that you wish people wouldn't say to you as a childless couple. Sorry.
You took
I can reword that whole
but
thing.
But that's okay. No. It's fine. It's fine. Because I mean, that's precisely what I wish people wouldn't ask. When are you having children? And some close friends of ours, love them to death, but always make jokes about, you know, us having children or how good my husband is with children. And they don't know the circumstances, whatever they may be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, folks, you never know what a couple is going through behind closed doors. And you never know what wounds you may be tearing open by asking what, you know, seems to you like a simple question or maybe just a small joke. Because there are people who cannot, couples who cannot have children and are struggling with infertility issues. There are couples who may not be on the same page about having children. Maybe they started on the same page for marriage and now one decides they don't really want children. And you put them in a really awkward place when you make jokes like that. And they're kind of looking at each other or trying not to look at each other because they know what's really going on. So I think people, you know, we just have to be a bit more mindful about the jokes that we make and the language that we use. And it's not about people being too sensitive, but that is a very sensitive topic. Like you said, it's very private. And there could be a private struggle going on there that you don't know anything about. Or it could just be that they've decided they don't want to have children. Mm-hmm. But we have to be mindful of that when interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Especially the joking part, because, that was very well worded. And I am actually really glad that you don't need to share your circumstances because it's nobody's business unless you choose to. And so I think people don't need to know the answer to that question. That's one thing my daughter-in-law has said. People say, when are you having kids? She's like, are you kidding me? We were just sitting here having lunch. Like, why did that just come up?
I just want to eat my sandwich.
You know, it's just, And I think people, I always try to come at it. People mean well and most of the time. Sometimes they're just nosy. But I think that was a really good point. It's just one of those things. Unless they bring it up, leave it alone. It's not your business.
Right. And I think for the couples out there, we just have to remember that we don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone an explanation. You don't have to feel like you don't have to give qualifiers. And that's something that I'm learning to do, not just in relation to this, but I don't have to explain. I don't have to explain myself or why, you know, we have or haven't chosen or been able to do something. I think the phrase is no is a complete answer. But in those instances, silence could be a complete answer. Just make them as uncomfortable as they're making you.
I have a friend that was so good at that. She would just be quiet. And I'd go, all right, well, if somebody was acting stupid or asking a terrible question, silence is a great answer to that. Or make them explain themselves. What do you mean by that?
I like that one. What do you mean by that? Yeah. When are you having when are you having more children?
Well, you did a post on your Instagram, I think, about don't quit, like something like about quit saying sorry. So kind of along the same lines. We do. Yeah. We rush in with an apology where there is no apology needed or explanation.
Girls, stop apologizing.
That's it. There's your next book. I see I have a whole list of projects for you. New app, book. I don't know if you've ever seen Tabitha Brown. She cracks me up. And what is the thing she always says? Because that's my business.
She sure does. And
about
I love
everything.
It. Everything.
I want to add the stick of butter because that's my business. And You know what? That goes with most things, yes. Whatever decision you're making. So anyway, well, I really appreciate your perspective on all of this. I'm going to give you a chance to add anything you want to at the end, but I want to close with a quick five. I'm bringing this back. This was something I did when I first started the podcast for listeners. Five quick questions for the guest that will let them know a little bit more about you. So let me know if you're ready.
Okay, I think I'm ready.
All right. So the first one is, what has been your best male spouse memory so far?
I think it would have to be the spouses dining in at Offutt. I think it was last year.
Oh, fun.
Last year. Yeah, it was so much fun. The chaplain's wives got together and I choreographed a dance for us. And they were so surprised to see chaplain's wives do this dance. It was hilarious.
Was that videoed somewhere?
Yes, it's actually on my blog. I added the video somewhere where I was explaining about spouses signing in. So there is video.
We need to find this evidence, yes, and share it. So the second one, I don't know how many places you all have lived, but what assignment so far and why?
So I think, I don't know, it's a toss up between Offutt and this one here in England.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Offutt, because of the friendships that we made, yeah, and what a surprise it was to actually enjoy living in Nebraska. Because I was very surprised. But by the time we left, I think we had fallen in love almost, minus the snow.
Yeah. Well, you're not the first person I've heard say that, because, you know, every service branch has their running jokes about different bases. I know a lot of people refer to it as awful Air Force Base, and I never lived there, but I've known several people that loved it there. So just don't go by what you hear.
Yes.
You gotta go make up
your
own
life. Experience for yourself.
Yes. Okay. So the third one is, and this is just a silly question, but I thought it was fun because my family and I were actually talking about this the other night. And we said, if you were on a deserted island and could only bring two foods, what would they be?
Oh, wow. I guess Greek salad and French fries, because I would be catching a lot of seafood, and I think that would go with all the seafood I would be eating.
Oh, that's very forward thinking. So I'm like popcorn, pizza, let me see how tacos.
I didn't think about adding catching to it. Shrimp. Yes. Oh, well, I would be catching supplement. My food. Yes.
Very smart. See, she's smart. All right. Number four, what is one interest or hobby you have that people might be surprised to hear?
Probably that I enjoy dancing as a chaplain's wife. I think people are always surprised by that. And I grew up Baptist, so dancing was definitely a no-no. But I do, and it's something freeing about it. So I think that would probably be it.
So what kind of dancing? Are you talking like wedding dancing, or is it like salsa dancing, or like, you know, give us the visual.
Really all types of dancing. So I used to own a dance studio like right before Matthew joined the Air Force. And we did yoga, we did Zumba, hip hop, ballroom dancing, and I just loved all of it. So yeah, that's my thing.
I did not know that about you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Surprise. So this one is, because we were in October, and this is another debate I'm having with certain people in my family. Yes. Christmas music, do you allow it before December or not?
I think the answer would be no. I've never really thought about it. You know what? I think I have been upset once when I heard a Christmas song on the radio and it was not December. So I think my answer would be no.
No, you got to wait till after Thanksgiving.
We have to wait. Yes. Now, after Thanksgiving, I think we're fine, because I want to get into the mood of Christmas. So, yes, after Thanksgiving, very early December. Yes.
I love that. See, we need to do one holiday at a time, folks.
Yes.
Let's stop this nonsense. There's Halloween and Christmas stuff at the stores right now, and that is ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. So early.
Yes. Yes. Well, see, we solved all the problems. But before we close, is there anything you wanted to add? I really do appreciate you talking about what can be such a sensitive topic, and really with just a lot of thoughtfulness and care, and helping other spouses not feel alone, but also helping other families maybe learn to relate a little bit better. But did you have anything you wanted to add?
I think just to piggyback off of what you just said, just remember that you are not an anomaly. So you and your spouse not having children, you are not by yourself. You're not the only one, even though it may seem like everyone around who has children, you're not alone. And then just, again, just to remember that you don't owe anyone an explanation. You know, you don't have to respond to people who are hounding you about, even family members, about when you'll be having children, because that's a decision that belongs wholly to the two of you.
Mm, I love that. Well, thank you so much again for joining me today, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do this regularly on some level. We'll have to bring you back. I just think your perspective is great and you're so thoughtful and articulate. And I really appreciate all that you're doing for the military community.
Thank you so much. I would love that.
So remember, you can find more about Jennifer at morethanamissus.com and on social media. And I will put all of that information in the show notes. But for now, thanks for joining me today. And I hope that you have a great week wherever in the world this finds you. Thanks for listening to the MilSpouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at MilSpouseMatters.com or on social media as @MilSpouseMatters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.